Jude, this first chapter, of course, and verse 7. Now, we don't want to miss what this book is about. This is about the warning that Jude is giving that people of all types of people will come in congregation, and they can disrupt a congregation. They can destroy a congregation. And so we got to be unaware of those people. And some of those people are doing it on purpose. But some of them do it not really meaning to do it, but it being so stubborn in their doctrine or whatever they're teaching to destroy the faith of someone else or even the congregation. So this is what it's about. And, of course, the first thing he talks about is those that came out of Egypt. And as coming out of Egypt, some of them, many of them, most of them, were died in the wilderness. So it says those who did not believe. Okay, so what is it talking about here? Let's just do a little bit of review. What is it talking about? What should we worry about or protect ourselves about, those that do not believe? So what does it mean they did not believe? Okay, but see, it's they were in Egypt. The plagues came. Did they believe those plagues? Did they believe that God did those plagues? I think most of them did. They went through the Red Sea on dry ground. Do you think they noticed? Well, of course they did. They went through there and they knew God did this for them. But yet, what was the problem? They didn't believe. Now, what does it mean they didn't believe?
They didn't trust in the Lord.
They didn't trust him. They didn't accept what he was saying he would help them do. Okay, you do this, I will bless you, I will help you. So they should have realized God brought them out of Egypt. There was an army right behind them trying to catch them. But yet, God protected them. But yet, at this point, they did not. Ben?
Well, I think they also started going back to worshiping idols.
They did that. There's no doubt about that. And it's strange for us to look at that and see, well, here's God doing these wonderful things, and this idol has done nothing. And so I find it very difficult to understand that. But that's what they're doing. So they did not believe. They did not trust in God, as Michael said. They didn't trust in God. They didn't accept God. They didn't realize that he was the only true and living God. And so they perished in the wilderness because they didn't trust him. Okay. The second one, of course, is angels. And what was their sin? Well, it doesn't really matter what their sin was, except in the one point. What point is that? That whether they did this or that, we are told what they did. They didn't remain in their abode. So what did they do? What should we not do, or we should do, I should say, to please God? What lesson are we learning from this one? Go ahead. Okay, but that's the first one. Now we move to the second one about angels. What did the angels do that was wrong, that we can learn that we should not copy that? That was the question. What did the angels do that we should?
Well, I have a translation that says they left their, they did not stay within their own position of authority, and they left their proper dwelling.
Okay, they didn't abide where God expects them to abide. That is what the lesson we need to learn. That's the lesson there, that we need to abide where? Where should we remain to be pleasing to God?
In the Word, in His presence. In His, you know, if we turn our back on God, we've
left. Okay. Second John, verse, chapter 1, verse, what is it, 8, 9, someplace in there. That, what? Okay, yeah, abide, we got to abide. Whosoever goeth onward abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. So if we don't obey Christ, and there are people out there that what? Say, I believe in God, but I don't believe Jesus, what he said. Well, they're wrong, because God said, if you don't abide in Christ, you don't have, but if you do abide in Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. And that's the important thing. That's what we need to abide where God wants us to. Just like the angels didn't abide where they were supposed to be, we have to abide where we're supposed to. And that's in Jesus Christ. And so, if we don't abide there, we can expect to be the same thing they did. They had a judgment reserved for them. And we don't want to have any part of that. And so that brings us to the verse 7, which we're starting at today. And let's see what they did that we have to, well, let's say we have to run away from. We have to get away from. We have to make sure that we don't abide in these things too. We don't practice these things that they did. Okay, yeah, verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities around, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went about after strange flesh. Okay, they went about strange flesh. What is strange flesh?
Immorality.
What?
Immorality.
Immorality or... homosexuality, whatever you word you want is sodomite. They were sodomites. That's where the word comes from. And so they were man with man and woman with woman. Wrong, completely wrong. There's no question how God feels about that. And so anybody that shouldn't practice, question, has that ever happened here? No, in this congregation. Now, this is what the guy Jude is warning us about: is coming into the congregation. These people that are doing these things, or practicing things, or whatever. In this case, has there anybody ever been in this congregation that was practicing these things? I know of two examples, and maybe more. And we did not know it. They came in secretly, but once they were revealed, what happened? They left. We didn't have to run them off. We didn't have to chase them off. We didn't have to do anything. When they were found out, they left. Well, they should have repented, is what they should have done. So that's something that the example is, don't let that come in the congregation and say, well, that's all right. You know, that's what the world right now today is saying. Well, it's just different. It's all right. No, it's not. Not according to God. Now, they may do it and they may want to do it, and I can't stop them from doing it. But God will punish them unless they repent. Now, there's always repentance. Always repentance. So we want to realize that. So they were indulging that. So the next question out of that verse, let's read the last rest of it, are exhibits of an... as an example to undergo the punishment of eternal life. So this is given to us as an example. So it's an exhibit of an example that undergoes, so we'll understand how God feels about this. It's a play on words, I guess, too, because it says eternal fire. And, of course, how did Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed? Okay. God rained fire down that whole valley, and only three people made it out. But that's because, and remember how Abraham was so concerned about people, and we should be concerned about people. He says, how about if there's only 50 that are good people down there, righteous people? 45. Well, how about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? And then 10, I think God cut him off there. But so he was concerned about the people. But the concern is always comes with obeying God, abiding in God. Yes. Who had a hand up? You did. Okay, Ben.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to know, and talk about the verse 6. It's kind of, to me, it's a mystery that he even mentions about the angels that did not keep their proper domain, and it doesn't talk about where they went and what they did when they left.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect us. I mean, they did what they did, and God was displeased with them, and God is punishing them. And, but the lesson we need to learn, though, is what?
Yeah, not to leave.
Abide where God put us. And where did God put us? In the church.
And so, you know, I read commentary and people give an open injection about saying, well, you know, that means that they went down to earth and started having sexual immorality with humans.
Yeah, I know. And they get that from Genesis 6. And I don't think that's true, but it doesn't matter because God is dealing with it. Whatever they do is wrong. We cannot do that. We're not in heaven. We don't come down to earth. We are here. And what do we got to do? We got to abide where God put us. We need to abide in Jesus Christ. See?
Well, you got to also remember that he's making a series of logical arguments here to convince people not to behave in a certain way. Angels have been called on before in efforts to teach people to behave in a certain way. You remember Paul in Galatians talks about, he puts forth the fictitious idea that even if an angel were to bring to you a gospel different from what we have preached, what's to happen to it? So all they're doing is they're calling on these other beings to say not even the angels have the authority to go against God. And if they do, they will be punished. So if even angels can't do that, why should we think we can?
That's true. That's true. So we need to abide where God put us. And we can't look to somebody else and say, well, they're doing that. It doesn't matter, does it? We're not to do that. God will deal with them. If we can help them, that's great. But if we can't, then it's in God's hands. So we need to abide in Jesus Christ, and that's where we need to abide. And so, but the example that has been given of this Sodom and Gomorrah is so important that we stay away from these things and we tell our children to stay away from these things because they're being lied to right now in this country. They're being lied to. They're being told, that's all right. You can do this, whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Yes.
To be more specific, it says gross immorality. Actually, they was gay. They were gay. Now, how about the day? The day is legal to be married in between men. No more immorality today. I have seen a TV
Well, yeah, and it comes from people making laws, but those laws we have to obey as long as they don't what? God's word. And that's right. And so this is something that they may say, a government may say, you can do this or that. Government does a lot of things that God don't want his children to do. So we got to divide us from that. And this is one that is pretty obvious that they're trying to do this. But this isn't all. This it just goes into the things that, with children and trying to do with the children. And Phyllis and I were talking away here. There's one politician from the state of Washington that's well known, says, these people that are saying we can't have abortion anymore. In other words, what she's saying is, I can't kill babies anymore. Shame on you. You won't let me kill babies. Yes, I hope I can stop you. But just because they pass a law says it's all right to kill babies doesn't make it right. And they're going to be judged by God because of that. And so it's a very, very sad, just a heart-wrenching situation and about these little defenseless children. And they say, well, it's my body. No, you're killing somebody else's body. That baby has a body, and you're killing it. You may live. Well, if you want to kill somebody, and I'm not advocating anybody killing myself, but if you want to kill somebody, kill yourself. Don't kill the baby. And so we got to realize that this immorality, in this case, was homosexuality. But I think they were even going further than that. And so it doesn't matter if we understand exactly everything that they were doing wrong. The important thing is we understand it's wrong and teach against it, practice against it, if that's the way you say things, or whatever, because it's wrong. And even if the law says it's right, the law of this country, God can do away with this country. And maybe he's going to. I don't know. God didn't tell me. But God is in control. And there's things going on in this country that maybe this country will cease to be. We don't know. But God won't. So we stay with God. It doesn't matter if we die. If we're with God, then we have a hope of heaven.
But now they're also pushing to allow children to change their gender.
You can't do that. I don't care what the law says. I mean, you know, I can fly. Well, no, I can't. You know, if you fly, you jump off a cliff and you die. You know, well, you can't do it. You can't change your gender. They say, and they physically change some parts. But they don't have babies, do they? Then they haven't changed anything. They've just mutilated things.
The DNA tells who you really are.
That's right. God said, that's what you are, and that's what you are. And it doesn't matter what you think or anybody else thinks, or somebody might convince somebody that they're not what they are. But still, they are what they are. So we got to defend against that. Teach our children. Our children are so important that we teach our children, this is not right. I mean children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever. The neighbor's child, whatever you can do, that it's not right. It's not what they say it is. And I just don't understand how they want to hurt little kids and babies in so many different ways. It just goes beyond my understanding. And people that practice that, I have an awful hard time having any pity on them. Maybe I should, but I feel very, very strongly about that. Okay, anything else? The punishment, though, is going to be what? It's going to be eternal, and he used eternal fire here. I think that's just relating back to the how Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Okay, let's go to verse 8. Yet in the same way, these men, now I think this is talking about those men that come in the congregation that unaware are practicing certain things. These men unaware, in the same way, these men also by dreaming defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesty. Question. Is it wrong to have dreams? Did you have a dream last night? Well, I don't dream too much, but once in a while, yeah. Is it wrong? Of course not. So what's it talking about? He's dreaming. What's he talking about?
Those are imagining.
Okay. There's other words, imagining. Yeah, there. So it's
evil imagination.
Okay. Daydream might fall in that category, although depending on where you're going with it.
I've got a thing here from Thayer that says one way that this word used is metaphorically to be beguiled with sensual images and carried away to an impious course of conduct, which would seem to tie into the previous verse perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it does. So, and that's what it's mean. But I think it even goes further than that, in that if you think, and they've got three things here, and I think it falls in all three of those. But the first one it says here, defile the flesh. Well, that's exactly what he said about the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were defiling the flesh. So I would say that's the same thing. But I don't think they were just being homosexual. I think they were being they would do that the sexual act with anybody and everybody. It was just a mad thing. So it's just something that was going on. So that's one way. So dreaming would be even daydreaming, thinking, I can do this. I can do whatever you want to imagine. So we can do this. We can go ahead and just dream these things and say, oh, yes. And when you think about something like immorality a lot, what can happen a lot easier? Pretty soon you start practicing it, don't you? And then it becomes part of your life, and then it becomes the thing that defeats you. So don't think on these things. I guess would be the easiest protection is think about godly things and about proper things and not something else that is improper. Okay, let's go to the next one. These men in dreaming, they reject authority. What does it mean to reject authority? How could you reject authority? I'm sorry? Well, don't listen to it, right? Don't obey it. So if that means, what's an example? I think it's all right to murder somebody. You know, but I'm all right. It doesn't matter. I think it's okay. And that's getting back to the government saying about these passing these laws that are reject nature. God's laws are very plain, and yet they don't mind killing babies. They don't mind doing things. So there's some rejecting authority, say, and then especially God's authority. Say, well, I don't care what God said. I think the law in the land is the one we need to listen to. No, that's not true, is it? We've got to listen to that, of course, but only when it doesn't go against God's law. And so we got to obey God's law. So these men that come into the congregation, and I say men, I mean mankind. They could be women too. Don't excuse the women that could practice these things. Just decide to reject authority. Or it could be revile angelic majesty. What does it mean to revile? What is a revile? Can we revile? Ken? Oh, okay. Are you saying reject? Are you there? Are you on to revile? Yes, but there's three categories there.
Yeah, they defile the flesh. Okay. The dreaming is defile the flesh. And set it not dominion. So, in reality, God says there's a certain way things should be. And in man's own mind, let's say his own creativity, he ends up rejecting God and does what he wants.
Yeah, and that's pretty well what it's talking about. But it still, I think it would refer to whoever dominion is or authority. So who's the authority we're under? We're under the state of Washington, the United States, but higher than is under God's law.
Right.
Yeah, the highest authority is God. But God has set up to... That's right. That's right. But revile, the word revile is what I was... It's, mine says revile angelic majesty. I don't know what others say. I know...
Revile.
What?
The word revile?
Yeah, the word revile.
Interestingly, the Greek word for that is the same word for blasphemy.
Okay.
Just speak viciously, negatively, derogatorily of, I'm not obeying any of the police, I don't care who's the president, nobody's telling me what to do. The guy, just me and Joe Blow, we're taking over the police station.
Please. Okay, that's what I got. Let me read the one I wrote down. It's blasphemy was mentioned in there, but criticize in an abusive and angry, insulting manner. Well, that pretty well takes care. Somebody that just hasn't got any respect for any authority, respect for even angels, even the dominion of heaven, they don't have any respect for what's above them, whether it's on this earth or in heaven. They don't have any respect for it. And that's the kind of person that we don't want in the congregation that comes in secretly and starts spreading this doctrine and defiling what's taught. Ben?
Well, even in a local sense, I mean, you get pulled over by a police officer, and he starts cussing at him, calling him all kinds of names, just disrespectful.
That's a good way to get put in jail, too. And that's the object of what this is saying here. You don't act in that way. You act in a way like, you know, that's the smartest thing you can do, especially nowadays, is get your hands up here where they can see them. Because they're scared to death. Those police officers are going scared. They have to be. I don't mean shaken scared. I mean, but... They know that anything can happen at any minute by this old lady I just stopped. Could be have a gun and shoot me. They just don't know. And so don't give them any occasion to think that something's wrong. Give your hands up on that steering wheel like that or whatever and be polite to them. You know, respectful, that's polite. Respectful, yeah, that's good.
Lost in our nation right now, respect for authority or for the elders or anything else.
That's exactly right. And that's what it's saying here. if somebody comes into a congregation and they start having these attitudes, then we ought to be aware and keep an eye on that person and make sure that they don't pollute the whole congregation. And they, if we can, in any way we can, try to teach them that this isn't proper. Because some people, they think that's fine. That's the way they grew up. That's the way it's fine. I can just, the more noise I make, the more I get my way. Well, not with me. With some people, yeah, they run and hide. But so you got to stand up for the Word of God. You got to stand up for the congregation, for other people. It's important. Yes, Ken.
Yeah, I need to ask, in order to have a better, clearer understanding of that verse 8, it said, these also, who are these also? And anybody can talk about it. I might suspect they were the angels who were in verse 6, or might be the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I don't know for sure.
I think what all of this goes into, every one of these different categories, is referring back to those people that come in the congregation unaware. You think, oh, these are nice people. Those are the ones we this whole chapter is about, is those people coming into the congregation that's going to destroy you. Well, that might be, or the daydreaming about how I can have all these women. Look at all the women in the congregation. I can seduce all of these women. I'm so great. That's in your imagination. That is stupidity, really. But that's what people do. That's dreaming. That's daydreaming. That's putting things in your mind that aren't logical. They're not the way life is. Just because you're the handsomest guy in the world don't mean that the girls are going to fall at your feet. Or the men, in this case, maybe. We got to watch out for people that have that opinion of themselves. And see and talk to people and try to help them. That's the main thing we should do, is try to help these people. But if we can't, then we have to make sure the congregation isn't hurt by them. Yes,
okay to do it because you had a dream.
I had a stomach ache, and I had a bad dream. But dreams would put what? If you went after your dreams, what would that do? That would say Jesus Christ is worthless. We should not listen to Jesus Christ because I had a dream, and my dream told me to do this or that, and my dream is just a dream. It's just a fantasy. It's nothing. Jesus Christ is our Savior, not my dream. If Larry had a dream about one thing and I had a dream of something opposite, who's right? Probably neither one of us. Jesus Christ is right. And that's really what we got to guard the congregation with, against such things. Larry. Okay, I see where you're going.
Then,
these things.
Yeah, and then there's older people that, you don't have to work that hard at being evil. That screen is showing you evil all day long. Your television screen, your computer screen, all this stuff can just drag you away, and you don't even have to work at it that hard. It's just there, so beware.
Isn't that right? This is a great... invention. It is really time. I've got in this right here more books than I can carry. And that's just in the one section of the religion. There's a whole bunch of other stuff in there. There's pictures. There's all sorts of kind of things in there. It's a great invention. But just like everything else, it can be used for good. It can be used for bad. So what is our responsibility, Larry is saying, to our children, to ourselves, is don't let this thing lead you away. Like the dreams would, and they used to stand here, they'll lead you away. You focus on this thing, and pretty soon you're off here, away from God. And that's what we got. And so we got to watch our children. I know our great-grandchildren, they come over, and they want to look at this. And it has their little silly games, you know, that they play. But, okay, you have a certain amount of time, and you can look at that. But I want to see what you're looking at. And so the little kids aren't too bad because you can control them. But when they get older, they get smarter and try to avoid what you're looking at. So the older kids is the one that you really have to worry about, but all of them you do. And even yourself can be carried away. I mean, I like to sometimes sit down and play these little games. You know, it's nothing games that mean nothing. There's nothing to them. It's just a thing to relax you maybe, or maybe a thing that you can maybe keep your mind working. You know, some of those games say, if you're an old person, you do this, it's going to enhance your mind. And I think it does to a point. But you don't want to get carried away with it. What did I do today? Well, I played games. Well, that's sort of a waste, isn't it? You know, you need a little relaxed time, but you need to be productive too. And so, Larry, you're absolutely right. That little screen is so good, but so bad. Just like everything else. Marianne?
We have to remember that we are the screen. We are the example and the influence on our grandchildren. People are looking at us and how we react and how we handle ourselves.
You're absolutely right. We're the one, the screen that wasn't invented when I was... I mean, it was invented when I was young. This wasn't. And so we can look at that and say, yeah, people look at us. We're the ones that people, maybe the only time they see somebody doing right is if they look at us, if we're doing right. And so we're an example before us, and that's the example you're talking about, and that's a good observation. Anything else? Okay, so both all of these are talking about that last two anyhow is talking about authority and generally majesty or rejecting authority. We'd be talking about a type of authority that we would need to not dream ourselves into disobeying or thinking it's not worth anything and something else is better than God. And so that's what it is. Now, I've got 2 minutes. I'm going to start on, we'll read verse 9, and we'll start there next week. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare proclaim against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." That's all he had to say. And that's all we have to say. We don't have to get in somebody's face and yell and scream and revile and... what was the other one? I've lost my place. Revile and railing are very, very similar. So anyhow, okay. So let's stop there and we'll start with verse 9 next week.